I hate mess. I like my house to be really tidy, everything in its place. I like the drawers and the cupboards to be tidy. And if I've tidied out a cupboard, then every time I pass it, I open the door just so I can be pleased at how nice it's looking. I get really stressed out by mess. Maybe you're not like that. We're all different. I know many people who don't notice a bit of untidiness and who would find it really strange that that stresses me out. But imagine if you had a house that is really awful, where there's no seat to sit on because everywhere is covered with stuff. You can't eat at the kitchen table because there's lots of plates of leftover food lying about, and rubbish is piled up, and dishes have not been washed for weeks, and everything is just filthy. And then imagine if somebody said to you, "I'll deal with it for you." And you go away for the day, and when you come back, you find that everything's been tidied and put in order, and all the rubbish has been removed, and the house has been made clean and sparkling. Have you ever got really dirty? Maybe you've been out working in the garden and it's been wet and muddy and you just feel filthy. Or you've been out walking and the rain's come on and maybe you've even fallen in the mud and you're soaked and you're dirty from top to toe. You get back to the house and you are desperate for a bath or a shower, just to get cleaned up because you're feeling so horrible. And when you get out of the bath or shower and put on clean clothes, you feel so different. You're all cleaned up. That gives us some tiny idea of what Jesus does in our lives. These are very, very inadequate illustrations. But maybe you get the point. The point that when we come to Jesus, he sorts out our mess and he makes us clean. How? By forgiving our sins. Sin causes mess. It leads us to mess up, to do wrong things. It makes us do things that are messy with other people. And it causes mess inside us. But Jesus cleans up our mess. He washes us clean from all the dirt and mud and confusion and mess of sin. In our reading in the book of Revelation, we read the description of Jesus as the one who has washed us from our sins. Last week, we began a new series of sermons that will take us up to Advent. We are looking at what Jesus has done for us. Alistair entitled the series, "The Grace of God in the Gift of Jesus Christ." And that title reminds us that everything that Jesus has done for us, it's not because we've earned it or deserved anything, but only because of the grace of God. And last week, Jim spoke about how in Jesus we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, the kingdom where Jesus reigns. We used to belong to a kingdom where darkness and sin reigned, and now, because of what Jesus has done for us through his death on the cross, we are in a kingdom where light and holiness reign. And so if we're going to live in that new kingdom, we need to be people who fit in there. If you were invited to Buckingham Palace to meet King Charles, you wouldn't go in your muddy gardening clothes. And you would have a shower before you went. You wouldn't fit in the presence of the king if you were dirty. And so when we come into the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of light and holiness, we need to be cleaned up so that we will belong there. We need to be washed clean from our sins. In Paul's letter to Titus, he describes it like this, and this is from the Message. It wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn, dupes of sin, going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. But when God, our kind and loving Saviour God, stepped in, he saved us from all that. It was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath, and we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Saviour Jesus poured out new life so generously. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. It was what we sometimes call an enacted parable. Instead of Jesus telling a story to make a point, he did something. And what he did was a picture of what he was going to do on the cross. The washing is a sign of forgiveness, a sign of being cleansed from our sins. But when he came to wash Peter's feet, Peter said, "No way, Lord, you will never wash my feet." And Jesus replied, "If you don't let me wash you, you don't have any part with me." What do we need to do to come to Jesus, to put our trust in him as our Saviour and come into his kingdom, the kingdom of light and holiness? We need to acknowledge that we are sinful, that we need a Saviour, that we need his forgiveness. We need to confess our sinfulness. And then we find that he washes us clean from our sins, that because of his blood shed on the cross, our sins are forgiven and we are cleaned up. Someone once said that our greatest need and God's greatest gift are the same thing, forgiveness of sins. Pete Gregg writes, "It doesn't matter what you've said or done. There is more grace in God than sin in you. You cannot be too bad, too broken, or too boring for God's unconditional love, only too proud to acknowledge how desperately you need it." What's this foot washing about? It's about the cross, Jesus' ultimate act of humility, where he serves our deepest need. It's about forgiveness of sins, about him bearing our guilt and our shame and washing them away with his blood shed for us, so that we might be with him reconciled to God. This is a picture of God coming to serve us, of God coming to save us, of God coming to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Through this washing, we become reconciled to God. Our guilt is removed, our shame is taken away. He doesn't come to us to make the burden of our sins heavy on us. He comes to lift them, to remove them. "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me," says Jesus. We can't do it on our own. We need to give up our pride, give up our hiding, our self-effort to do enough or be enough. Come to Jesus and let him save us. And that's what he does. In the first letter of the Apostle John, we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When we come to him, he cleans us up. He sorts out all the mess within us and washes us clean inside. If you don't know that, if you don't know that forgiveness and cleaning up, you can know it today just by coming and asking Jesus and receiving his mercy and grace. It's that we accept Jesus as our Saviour and come into his kingdom, our sins are forgiven. But we still mess up, don't we? When Jesus said to Peter, "If you don't let me wash you, you have no part with me," Peter, in typical overreaction, said, "Well, don't just wash my feet then. Wash every bit of me." And Jesus replied, "If you've had a bath, your body is clean. You only need to wash your feet." What was he saying? That when we've put our faith in him, we're completely forgiven. Our sins are dealt with and we don't need to go over them again or ask forgiveness for them again. But as we go through life, we do things that sully our friendship with God, things that are not consistent with people who live in the kingdom of light. We still mess up. It's as though, having once had that bath of cleansing, we still pick up dirt on our feet. And so we need to come and get the sins of the day forgiven, the mess of the day cleaned up. Jesus taught his disciples to pray regularly for that daily cleansing from sin. In the prayer he taught them to pray, he said, "Pray this, forgive us our sins." And we pray that in our first prayer when we come to worship. We pray for forgiveness for the mess of the week that's gone past, the times when we've been thoughtless and selfish, the things we've done that we shouldn't have done, the things we've left undone so that we should have done, so that when we come to worship, we come as people who are totally clean. There's a picture in the Old Testament that shows the same thing. When a priest was consecrated, he was washed all over. He was made clean so that he could serve God. But day by day, he got dirty and defiled by living in the world. And so every time he was to go into the temple to carry out his duties, he first had to wash his hands and feet at the big laver, the big bowl of water in the temple courtyard. When Jesus was talking to his disciples on that night when he washed their feet, the night before he was crucified, he spoke to them about how they needed to remain in him like branches in a vine. And he said to them, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Because of their relationship with Jesus, because they'd embraced his word, they were clean. It's as if the work of the cross already applied to them. They had committed their lives to Jesus, put their trust in him and followed him, and they were clean. And that's true of all who belong to Jesus, of all who've trusted in him, you're already clean. But I think that even those of us who have known that a long time sometimes need to be reminded of it, because there is an enemy of our soul, and he has a bad habit of reminding us of all the messes that we've made in our lives. Do you ever have the experience where you find yourself remembering something you'd forgotten about? Something you're ashamed to remember? A time when you did or said something you really regret, and you think, where did that come from? Why have I remembered that? Put it away. Don't let it into your life. You're already clean. But of course our feet get messy. Our daily struggles, our failures, the guilt and shame that grab hold of us make us feel dirty, and sometimes we're not even sure if God wants us anymore. But getting a bit mucky doesn't take away from what Jesus did for us on the cross. He took all our guilt and shame, and that is more foundational, more definitive than any failure. Sometimes our sin seems to us to be so big. Sometimes we get tired confessing the same thing over and over. And sin and shame can feel as though they cling closely to us. But Jesus says, you're already clean. You're already accepted, already loved, already forgiven, already right with God. Just let me wash your feet. A few verses after Jesus tells Peter that he was already clean, we find Peter saying, I'll follow you anywhere, Jesus. I'll give my life for you. And Jesus responds by saying to Peter that he was about to have the biggest failure of his life. But that didn't change the fact that he was already clean. Peter did mess up. He messed up spectacularly when he denied Jesus. But he was also spectacularly forgiven. There is more mercy in Christ than sin in us. You are clean doesn't mean that we are sinless. It means that the verdict is in. His mercy is deeper. His cross is more powerful. Because we have trusted in him and put our faith in him, the work is done, and we are sinners saved by grace. And we come regularly to pray for that ongoing forgiveness, for that cleaning up from the mess of the day. We started our service with worship to the God of holiness. How can we dare to approach a holy God? The book of Hebrews gives us a description of worship in the time of the Old Testament, of the tabernacle where the Israelites worshipped in the wilderness, and of the temple that was built in Jerusalem. The innermost place was called the most holy place. And God had said that he would be specially present there in the midst of his people. But no one could approach him. No one could go in to the most holy place, and there was an enormous curtain keeping people out. Only the high priest could enter once a year on the Day of Atonement, carrying the blood of the lamb that had been sacrificed for the sins of the people. It points forward to the work of Jesus on the cross, because at the moment Jesus died, that enormous curtain tore in two from top to bottom, showing that because of Jesus' death, we can now approach God. The writer to the Hebrews says, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened through the curtain that is his body, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near to God. There is nothing to keep us from a close relationship with God. We can come to him in full assurance of faith, knowing that our sins are forgiven and we are accepted by him, made clean by the work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And let's stand as we sing, "Thank You."